Troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cry to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
I'm Bob Garrity. I'm joined with co-hosts Chris Sardern and Bill Johnson. The Watchman Weekly is a ministry of the Threshing Floor and can be found at threshingfloor-radio.com and watchmanweekly.com. Good evening, Bill. Good evening, Chris.
Oh, good evening, gentlemen.
Hi there. How you doing, guys?
I'm doing fine, and Very pleased to be here. We had a invigorating pre-show going on, and hope that we can get some of that out into the show this evening and to edify the audience. And Chris has got a lot of good material he wants to bring out, and so does Brother Bob.
Well, audience, tonight we're going to we'll do a shorter segment on current events. The situation that we're dealing with in terms of trying to preach this gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and the physical manifestations and the spiritual overlay that we want to convey to you is far different than the other people preaching fear and preaching another gospel. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is a burden that the Lord gives you. His burden is light, audience, and it begins with the fear of the Lord, and not the world. Brother Chris.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we're always hearing the being accused of being fear mongers, and that whole discussion, you know, so. Yeah, you know, I wanted to address that a little bit, you know, tonight. I mean, perfect love casts out fear, and the talk of the end times events that we're seeing and bringing to the light, you know, making connections between the physical manifestations and the spiritual is, it's edifying to me. You know, I'm excited personally. I'm drawn to this, to understanding more as much as I can, you know, but my heart also breaks, you know, for my loved ones that aren't excited about it, you know, that are in fear. And, it's just a thing that we've got to really, seek the Lord on and study in scripture to really get an understanding of the proper place of fear. You know, I mean, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or the beginning of wisdom. You know, what do you think about that, Bill? That's we've talked about that before. But that fear, how do you see that fear that the Lord's talking about there?
Well, it's the beginning of understanding. You know, there's two wisdoms in the Bible, obviously. There's the wisdom of man, which comes from the Spirit through, you know, the spirit of, I guess, Satan and his devils and, man's imagination. There's that wisdom, which is but foolishness unto the Lord. And then there's the wisdom of the Lord. realizing that the Lord is sovereign, realizing that the Lord is going to judge you, realizing that the Lord God has created all things, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who sent his son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us, through his wonderful grace, and the fear that, when you're born into this flesh existence, and we all go through this, there's fleshly fears. And it's a natural order of things. I think somewhere in Scripture Jesus talked about, and I don't know the verse and chapter offhand, but he talked about the flesh being very powerful, I think. And, we're, of course, going to fear things in the flesh. It's just humanly. But the beginning to starting getting the real wisdom is saying, well, the fear of the Lord is more important because God is going to judge me, in this lifetime for my, and I can't pass that judgment. No man has ever passed that judgment. So the only solution is being in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And let's say somebody breaks into a store and steals something. What is their fear? Is their fear that they're going to be caught and be arrested and taken to jail? That's fleshly. Or do they fear the Lord that they're breaking his commandments? And they're breaking his law, and they're not walking in covenant with Jesus Christ. See, which fear do they have there?
Yeah. Right. And that's something that we all have to do is, check ourselves.
Yes.
Be sure of your election or...
work out your own salvation with fear and dribbling.
Yeah.
Is one of the verses that I... think about every single day.
Well, it also, where does it say, examine yourself daily and be sure that you are in the faith. I mean, what the, that's a powerful verse. But the thing is, when I got kicked out of church, I'm in this seeker friendly church, a pillar in this church, a leader in the men's group and all this stuff. And, that's when the Lord woke me up out of, crying out to him, to Lord, restore this church, bring it back to the way it used to be before this lukewarm doctrine came in. I just was crying. I got to the point where I couldn't take it anymore. And, I got it. The Lord visited me and he woke me up. And in the impending months, after that were, nothing but, I just got met with such opposition, and I'm over here, the Lord's revealing himself to me with this in the scripture, and I'm making these connections, and I'm going, oh my gosh, this is it, this world government that I was being made aware of, all of a sudden it just all hit me, the Lord revealed it to me. This is the beast kingdom, Chris. And I'm just going, guys, don't you see this? Don't you see what's going on? And, and by this time, the covenant had been corrupted with flatteries, like we've taught so clearly. And this is what this is why this is such a big issue today, because the church is so dumbed down with any notion of fear, because they don't have the fear of God in the churches. That's the problem, because, oh, you're washed in the blood, brother. you make sure that you are washed in the blood daily and make sure that you are covered, because this is what the scripture teaches in, like, Leviticus chapter 26. The multitude are not covered. I mean, the apostate church is not covered. And that's the big problem. And this is what the tribulation is about. It's to restore the covenant relationship with the lost. And, but it's going to be a bloody deal, man. And it's definitely something to fear. But this misappropriated fear when you dare talk about anything challenging in these harlot churches today. Oh, you've got so much fear in your message. Well, it's not me, it's the truth. And you're not positioned, you're not positioned where you need to be. And that's why this brings fear, But it says, like in Hebrews, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. And then, like in Jude, it says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. I mean, you know, there's a place for all this stuff, and the problem we're having today, you know, with, you know, I keep saying that the rules have changed, you know, I mean, as far as what we've been taught, because of the way that the church is so corrupt now with this message of flatteries, where, you know, people are so dumbed down from the notion of fearing the Lord, and so, you know, it's like the pendulum swings the other way, and this is what I'm dealing with now, because I was just so sick and tired of the storytelling coming from the pulpit, and, you know, the stuff that just got me nowhere. And now, you know, when I see the truth, and that, you know, I learned about the severity of God, and, you know, the kindness and severity, they have to go hand in hand. And for so many years, they haven't gone hand in hand. All we've heard about is this cotton candy, you know, gospel that was all kindness and all, you know, love, whatever that is. I mean, I don't think the churches have any idea what true love is. But, you know, this is why we're at these extremes now, you know, because the pendulum's swinging the other way now with the awakening remnant, you know, that this stuff is extreme because we haven't heard it for so long. And that's why, you know, it is possibly lopsided, you know, because, you know, the church needs a shaking. You know, they need to be pulled from the fire with fear because this is what's ahead. And believe me, they're going to be, you know, God's people are going to be pulled from the fire, but it's not going to be a pleasant experience at all.
And audience, we look at the verse in Hebrews, Noah moved with fear, and he prepared.
Prepared.
So when you drill down on prepared, it's properly external equipment, so he built the ark, and then it's internal fitness. He prepared his vessel. He's a vessel of the Lord. He hears his voice. He does the will of the Lord through the Holy Spirit. On the external, he builds this ark. On the internal, he's a prepared vessel. He's walking in repentance. He understands God's word. It is written on Noah's heart what is happening. And he is preparing, because he knows that God condemned the world. Now, we're told in Revelations that this is a recapitulation of the times of Noah. And what we're preaching is this gospel, and this gospel of repentance of your sins. To liken it to the prostitute, sin no more and go, and the Lord coming like a thief in the night is exactly what it is. That's proper rendering. When no one expects this, no sign will be given to this evil and adulterous generation. But you, audience, have these signs. They're happening all over. Brother Bill?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Chris.
You know, Bill, you did that great study about what Bob was just talking about. You know, we had this discussion this week about repentance and asking Jesus into your heart. I mean, What is that? Where is asking Jesus into your heart in the scripture? I haven't found it. Have you, Bill?
Yeah, you were the first that alerted me of that. I've heard that type of thinking process before. I immediately thought of Billy Graham, or maybe you mentioned Billy Graham, but that's where that
preaching comes
from. And it's actually not in scripture to be found anywhere.
I know. It's an absolutely absurd concept when you really think about it.
It's to hear his calling.
It's all a Christian event.
He doesn't want to come into your heart. Your heart is defiled.
You know,
what does Jeremiah say? It says, man's heart is deceitfully wicked, and who could know it?
No flesh
so
is good.
You want to invite Jesus into your deceitfully wicked heart? No. He calls us, and we pray to him,
He calls us to turn. He calls us to repent.
Repentance, right. He calls you to repentance, right. He doesn't want to come into your defiled heart.
You don't hear that message in the church.
He's not going to, neither.
No, he won't. How arrogant. It's man-centered. It's just more man-centered doctrine.
Right. And it's so subtle. I never thought of that before until you sent me that email, by the way.
I know, it dawned on us this week, didn't it? I mean, it's like you start really thinking of it. It's New Age, really.
More seeker-friendly garbage.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard the stock script about, God wants to come into your life and... what does he say? There's a standard evangelical line that they use when they're presenting the gospel.
So he wants you to come out of your life.
Yeah, he wants you to die.
Come out and surrender your life and come to him. They got it totally backwards.
Oh, this is what I'm saying. This is the classic line. Hey, brother, God has a plan for your life. You know, and it's like, you know, I saw this thing done in a satire, and he said, "Oh yeah, that's great. I have a plan for my life too. You know, that'll work out great." And it's just like, come on, you know. I mean, I don't want to belittle. I mean, I'm sure there's many sincere people out there.
Yes,
want to share the gospel. We got to be careful.
Right, you got to be careful. Right.
The gospel message is so corrupt.
I wanted to touch on Noah while the subject was that Bob
Absolutely.
Was speaking about.
Go ahead.
Noah and the Ark. Noah's three times in the epistles, once in Hebrews and twice in Peter, and by which he condemned the world.
Wow.
If you go put those three pieces of scripture together, that you know, and in the Gospels, the word Noah is used, N-O-E.
Yeah, but why is that?
That I don't know. It's the Greek translation. But in the epistles, they used it Noah. So,
yeah.
Could I give you an answer for that? I don't know. They're still the same person.
Well, it's like the way they say Isaiah.
Right. But anyway, here's what I found interesting, by which he condemned the world. Well, if you look at Peter 3:20, where it speaks about Noah again, it says, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering God waited in the days of Noah. While the ark was being prepared, or while the ark was preparing, wherein few as there was eight souls being saved by water. And then Peter 2:5 says, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah of eight persons, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. There it is right there. That's what you were looking for. It was Noah had the word. Noah had the truth. Noah had the Holy Spirit. When he went out to teach the people, they would not listen to him. They would blaspheme the Holy Spirit. That's what brings in, of which he condemned the world. That's why God condemned the world.
Oh, man. Tell me where that is again, Bill.
Noah had the truth, and they blasphemed the truth.
Where is that in Peter?
2 Peter 2:5.
Oh, boy. That's it. That just totally tied that together for me.
Preacher of righteousness. In other words, he would go out and preach the truth. And they would rebuke him and call him a liar, just like Jesus. Oh, well, you must be a wine bibbler. You must be a madman. Well, that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And God says, you know, Jesus said, "There's all sins are forgiven except for blasphemy of the Holy Spirit." Well, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, as we know, is if you go through life bad-mouthing and rejecting the truth all your whole life until your death. You know, then that, you know, that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And that's what they did. So God judged the world because none of them would listen to Noah. He gave the truth to Noah, and they wouldn't listen to him. He was the preacher of righteousness. He was the one that had the Holy Spirit. He was the one that God was speaking through.
And we find, you know, Noah's process is what our Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now, the proper rendering of that, audience, is that our Lord preached the good news. Repent of your sins. Repentance is changing your mind about whatever you've been taught. Let the Holy Spirit teach you the truth through the scriptures. Because it's all in this gospel. You want to learn about our Lord Jesus Christ? The Apostle Paul says, read this gospel. And this knocking, when you drill down on it, it's to open, it's to prepare yourself for our Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit to reveal himself to you, and it shall be opened unto you. to do his will. Is that the proper rendering, gentlemen?
Absolutely.
Amen.
So out in we were on our pre-show discussing, you know, how many people are in pre-tribulation rapture doctrine?
Oh, boy.
And we came to a number that might have been 2 billion Christians.
Well, I think it's about 2 billion Christians, 1 billion Catholics, and basically you'd call the other 1 billion Protestants.
And they are the enemy of the finished works of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're Pharisees and scribes. Their preachers are leading them into idol worship. They are giving them, woe unto you that suck milk. Well, this is the meat of Scripture, audience. And preaching Jesus Christ, Him crucified. You know, God forbid we should be deceived if we're not preaching this gospel. And we tell you this is the proper rendering of Scripture, that if you knock and you repent of your sins, the Lord will answer you, not the Joe Lunchbox crew, not anybody.
Right.
The Holy Spirit will witness and teach this to you through our Lord Jesus Christ. Bill?
Yeah, absolutely. You pick up your cross and follow Him. He sends the Comforter. He shall bring remembrance to you of all things that I said. And He will be with you forever. You know, forever is forever. You know, the Holy Spirit stays in you forever. After you've left this life and gone, the Holy Spirit is still in you. And I wanted to jump real quick back to Noah again. In 1:3:20 Peter, there's more proof of that, of why the world was condemned. And they're going to be condemned for the same reason this time, from the testimony of the multitudes.
Yes.
Which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. So he was waiting. Noah was preaching. He was waiting for the people to repent while the ark was preparing. So that was, you know, long-suffering is associated with Methuselah, too.
Amen.
Methuselah, he died just right before, shortly before God flooded the world. He was Noah's grandfather. And Noah's father had already passed away, Lamech.
What's Methuselah's?
People to repent.
And do you know about Methuselah? Methuselah, this is an example of God's loving kindness, long-suffering. Methuselah was the oldest man. I mean, isn't that symbolic right there?
Yes, that's true. He lived to be 969 years.
And it's just a testimony to the God's long-suffering. He allowed Methuselah, and Methuselah's name means after death comes judgment. And what a testimony of our Lord that He would, you know, He's long-suffering, you know, wishing that none should perish. And the fact that the oldest man to ever live was the guy that, you know, when his life was over, was when the judgment came. And I gleaned so much from our Lord, who our Lord is, through that. Many times I've plummeted the depths of that. And this is what we have, you know. It's just so sad that no matter what, people still have their eyes on the world.
That's right.
And no sign will be given if you're not in this gospel. If you're not preparing yourself, studying yourself approved, and relying on the Holy Spirit to teach you this, you will succumb to this fear that is out in the world right now. You will succumb to everything that's manifesting. And we're told that this will be like a madness come upon people. Think of, I don't know, an example could be road rage on steroids.
Road rage on steroids.
Yeah.
Well, you had pointed out Saul, the situation with Saul, with just complete madness had come upon him. And, you know, I think that's an example of the serpents and scorpions of the end days, they're possessed by madness.
And that takes us into Bill, Chris, did you want to go over anything else on current events?
Well, we'll just, we were going to talk about the prophetic signatures of this Japan event, And then, you know, to ease into the metaphoric understanding that the Lord's just showing us there.
Okay.
Whenever you're ready. If that's if we're ready, we're ready. I mean, you know, I was probably going to just touch a little bit about what's going on in Libya. And, you know, we're all seeing what we're seeing there. But
I also thought it was very interesting about what Bob told us about the whole structure had been blown up off of those nuclear reactors over there.
Oh, yeah.
And, yes, that is a we were talking in the pre-show audience, and I've done structural ironwork, and the pictures that I saw from a helicopter, it hasn't been a day or two, indicated that the entire structure had collapsed on top of the fission reactor, so it's exposed. That's millions and millions of tons of steel and concrete have just collapsed, and that reactor is leaking. And we have looked. We'll go over the spiritual overlay on this in terms of this catastrophic event and earthquakes, and the earthquakes of that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of, earthquakes in divers places. Go ahead, Chris.
I was just going to make a comment before we get into the signatures there, but you know, in Libya and the whole Middle East, you know, all I'm hearing is just Satan's house divided. You know, these guys are just, you know, they're just. I hear, you know, NATO and you know U.S. forces are bickering internally, internal strife. You know, poor planning on this invasion, all this stuff. I mean, don't ever think that. And this is something that I'm coming to grips with too, because I have given this New World Order a lot more I don't know, reverence, I suppose, than it's due, and I'm guilty of that, and I've got to make sure that I don't forget the fact that you know, Satan's an idiot. Satan is insane. Satan is literally insane. You know, he knows his time is short, and you know, anybody that caught, I would encourage anybody that doesn't realize that, you know, we had an interview, a breakout study earlier this week with James Lloyd, and it's posted on the blog, on Watchman Weekly website. But, you know, he had just some great stuff to share with us. And he, you know, he shared the fact that Satan is literally insane, and he knows that he's condemned, but he's, you know, he likened it to the murder, you know, the serial murderer that, you know, stabbed the person 199 times. Well, you know, the person was dead at, you know, 15 or 20 times. Why does he keep going? You know, because he's insane. And you know, this is, you see this going on with these vessels of wrath that are out there steering this global agenda.
Well, and they're going to take on the likenesses of their father. Just as Paul was 144,000, a type and shadow of 144,000, or you could say Abraham was a type and shadow of the 144,000, and Moses, they took on the likeness of their father. The serpents and scorpions are going to take on the likeness of their father, and their father, Satan, is crazy, so, and his house is divided. So these people are going to be crazy. They're going to attack each other. They'll stab each other in the back because they're just like their father. In fact, Jesus told him that in John chapter 8. He says, if you're the father of the devil, and of his lust you shall do. So they're going to do just like their father. And we, walking in Jesus Christ, are to do like our father. So they're going to take on the characteristics of which father they choose to follow. You know, choose ye this day who ye shall serve.
Yeah, that's really profound, Bill.
And this has to do, audience, with, let's go back. It goes back to Esau. The apostate church is trading their birthright for nothing. They are being deceived into idol worship, and it is the Lord's will that this happens. And this is an abomination to the Lord, that they would trade in their birthright for physical, fleshly Israel.
Right, or fleshly, either anything for that matter.
Or fleshly,
yes, that's
anything.
Right.
Fleshly,
that's the main
Muslim,
component,
fleshly,
right.
Fleshly having, Mormon.
Right, having been born in the spirit first, now you're going to be made perfect in the flesh, Paul says.
Right. Yeah. The main component is right going back to Israel. I won't argue with that. I mean, I totally agree with that. But
or going back to Muhammad, or going back to the founders of all these different religions. These are man-made religions. They're doctrines of demons, and the scriptures tell you so. If you study them, if you study the scriptures, the Holy Spirit will reveal the whole story to prepare you to do the will of the Father when this tribulation comes upon you, not the world, you. Now, we're told that the seasons won't change. There's always been earthquakes. The sky hasn't opened up yet. And there is no clouds in the sky coming from the east where every knee will bow to our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not given a time when that's going to happen. Okay, but this generation, the people that are not standing in the holy place, they are not going to recognize any sign. Bill?
Right. If you're not in the holy place, you're going to be deceived, and sadly, they'll be looking at the flesh for everything, looking at the flesh to solve all their problems. You know, this is why the peace and safety is such a big movement today, because the beast system that is in control has convinced you that they can provide you for all peace and safety in the flesh. And the peace and safety is really, in the spirit. It's walking in the spirit of Jesus Christ. And you are protected from all things, and he gives you power to tread on serpents and scorpions.
An audience in the flesh, they will not see it. But if you listen to what was conveyed to us about in Noah's time that we've just recounted in Hebrews, it keeps saying by faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now, the heirs of the promise are built on the foundation of our Lord Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. And you go through a metaphoric study of lively stones. Be ye lively stones. That's you, audience, who have accepted the repentance of your sins, who have looked to the scriptures and not to doctrines in the churches, who only have faith to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and not the world. Chris?
That's right. And it's just, this is just the common thread. You know, in the pre-show tonight, we're all getting challenged by many things. You know, even in our own, in our groups, the remnant, we see, we're preaching so clearly that we're encouraging everybody to stay in the seven, to stay in God's rest, stay in the Sabbath. And this is such a problem for so many. You know, this is why the church is in the condition it's in today, because it didn't stay in the seven. It went on to perdition. You know, the church went into perdition because it wasn't content with God's peace, and we all have to just stay so diligent about what we're doing and in that quest for more and more. And I'm talking to myself right now, because I'm coming off of 2 years of just enlightenment. The Lord just completely pulled me up out of this apostate harlot church system and woke me up, and it was the most shocking, devastating and wonderful experience I ever went through in my life, now here we are. And I was sharing tonight in the pre-show that I just feel it's on my heart is that we have to stay here, not go on to perdition. And I just want to go over the sound doctrine, and as we hear challenging things coming down the pike with some things that people are saying, we have to make sure we stand in the truth and know who we are. And, this is where I'm at now. And my vision for the Watchman Weekly show is to just continue on with the sound doctrine that might be redundant, might be repetitive. But I just want to just keep going over this stuff and over this stuff so that we get it and we know. Because I'm telling you what, this is what's, this is an example I came up with, And it comes out of the church, you know, out of the my experiences in the churches. But what do you do with the youth group, you know? What do you do with the kids? I'm talking this because I've got teenage daughters, you know. They're 12, 13, 14, I mean 12, 13, 15 years old. And, you know, what? And what are we doing right now? You know, we're preparing them for the time when they're faced with temptation and challenges, you know, sexually, you know, and that, just using that as an example. Because you can't just face that with no preparation, with no foundation, with no grounding, and you know, in Scripture and knowing. Because if you followed your passion or followed the decision that's ahead, it's not going to work. And I just liken that scenario to what's ahead for us, what's ahead for Christians, because I am so convicted of the fact that Christians have no idea of what's coming. And the decisions that they're going to be called to make, whether to go along with this beast New World Order or not, you know, they don't realize how close this is. I mean, we are definitely in Mark of the Beast territory now. And, you know, these decisions that we have ahead of us are not going to be ones that we can make by the seat of our pants. We have to be prepared. And this is what we're trying to do now. You know, we want to prepare. And prepare the listeners for, you know, what's ahead, you know, all by understanding God's word and what he's warned us. He's given it all. He's given, yes, Bob said, an evil and adulterous generation requires a sign, but no sign will be given, but for the sign of Jonah. And, you know, we understand that as the fact that it is a wicked and adulterous generation. But we also believe that God's remnant are not numbered among that generation. That we are, you know, we've come out of her, and we're on Mount Zion with Jesus. You know, we're redeemed from the earth, and we do see. You know, God does give us signs, and we do see signs. And this is what we're sharing tonight. But you know, we're just called to stand. You know, the first thing in the whole armor of God is the. You know, have your loins girt with truth. And, you know, we know that standing in the truth, finding the truth, knowing the truth makes you free. That's where our strength is. And, you know, this is where we're going to just keep driving this stuff home, folks. And as the Lord shows us new things, yes, but we're not going to be so caught up on finding that new thing and giving up, you know, that sound doctrine that we have to hold to, because this is what's going to get us through the perilous times that are ahead, because there's evil on the horizon that, you know, we haven't seen, we have never considered, because we're going to be faced with these decisions whether to go along with you know, with Satan's government, or possibly, you know, being hauled away, you know, being taken into captivity. You know, I believe this is right on the horizon.
And we're looking at a spiritual overlay of Scripture with key identifications, and the identifications that we found from Genesis to Revelation are absolutely fluidly in sync, every jot and tittle in place through this gospel. Bill?
Yeah, right, every jot and tittle. You know, you mentioned your loins being girded there, Chris. You know, I think John the Baptist had a pretty repetitive message also. And he was in the wilderness with his loins girded, wasn't he?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you're given the full armor of the Lord, audience. The full armor of the Lord to walk in, to follow the Lamb wherever you go. To the straight gate. And the world tells you, the world is telling 2 billion people that, hey, I got this gospel. I know this gospel. Read my study book. Read my study Bible, the apostate study Bible that was copyrighted. Come to my church, the 501c church. Come to my internet ministry. Let me scare the living hell out of you that the earthquakes and the Japanese, let me sell you something. All of these things are coming upon the inhabitants of the earth. And what we're saying is that your tribulation is one-on-one with our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is
Amen.
It is that gospel that you need to grasp. You need to understand wherever you are, if you're on this side of the plumb line, where you will have understanding through the scriptures that the Lord is revealing the truth of scriptures, that you are a holy vessel, and the Lord has great pity on all the good-hearted people out there. And he will redeem his multitude. But the rest is judgment. And if you're on the other side of the plumb line, God forbid that you don't have the Holy Spirit to go through tribulation and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you will be serving the world.
That's who you, if you don't serve the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to serve somebody. And we all know who that other somebody is. There's only one somebody left, really.
He sits in the congregation.
Yep.
And you can slice and dice up the...
He's got thousands of different names.
The cut-and-paste scenarios that have been given through the corporate churches of this and that, these events happening, they are not going to see it. They may try to manifest it, but they're not going to see the tribulation coming.
No.
And at the end of this tribulation, every knee on the face of the earth will bow to our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, audience, we're going to move into Revelation. Bill has a study on Revelation 6, and we'll get back to Saul. Bill, do you want to break this out for us?
Oh, yeah, sure. We were just going to touch on a, it's not really a study, but, you know, just some things we had noticed in Revelation chapter 6, the last few verses, I think 12 to 16. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Well, the moon there is the martyring of the multitude. And the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Well, shaken of a mighty wind would be the tribulation. The mighty wind of wrath of God, it says. And I have little notes here on the figs. Sue Patterson describes them in her glossary of metaphors. Oh, I had them right here. Just now I had them. Where did I put that?
Hold on a second, Bill, if you wait one second.
I thought I had them right here.
I've got the fig tree. Is the fig tree what you're looking for?
Yeah, it's in her glossary
the
of metaphors. She divides at the bottom of that definition. She explains Revelation chapter 12 there.
You want me to read through it? I have it right in front of me.
I mean 6. Yeah, go ahead.
Audience, this is from The Trumpet Judgments Unveiled from Sue Patterson's book. It's in the glossary of metaphors. The fig tree. The fig tree is a metaphor for both physical and spiritual Israel on two different layers. This is the dual learning we're talking about, audience. The plural learning. The establishment of Israel in 1948 is the fig tree that today's church looks towards. The spiritual fig tree is today's modern church. The branch that shoots forth on the fig tree is Kufi. Matthew 24:32, Mark 13:28, Luke 21:29. The locust, which are scorpions, audience, the bark, the strip, is they strip the bark from the fig tree and make the branches white, and that white is a recognition of the multitude, audience. In Joel 1:7, the Lord comes upon a fig tree that is not producing any fruit, and that definition is that the church is fruitless. And curses it, and that could be found in Matthew 21:19-21, and Mark 11:13, and also Mark 11:20-21. The stars, serpents, that fall from heaven are as untimely, and that will be defined as unripe figs, and that's from Revelation 6:13.
Right, that's what I'm reading right now, yeah. They're the stars that fall from heaven as untimely figs. And heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men, these are pretty much all descriptions of serpents and scorpions, every bond man and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him which sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. And we all know the Lamb there is Jesus Christ. It's spelled with a capital L. These mountains are their false religious high places. The rocks could possibly, you know, rocks is could be their false revelation, their false doctrine. It wasn't received from the true rock of Jesus Christ.
But you, audience, are you're lively stones.
We're lively stones, right.
You're not to be overturned by all these false doctrines flying and trying to ensnare you. All through Scripture it says to enter in to covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. And
all through Scripture.
All through. And every single instance has a degree of a plumb line. Sin and no sin. That's it. That's how you prepare yourself.
That's true. That's the plumb line, sin and no sin. Absolutely. The islands there, along, we know the religious are high. It says all the mountains and islands are moved out of their place. The islands are like where they go to seek refuge. These are where the scorpions reside. They're spiritual islands, places of safe haven, and they hold the multitudes captive there. These are the prison houses. And the mountains are their spiritual high places. It's all through Scripture, mountains are referred to as spiritual high places.
And it's just, a couple months back, it was before the holidays when we did the mountains burning show. Mm-hmm. There again was, another prophetic signature.
Right. It just things to come that are coming or whatever.
Yeah, and I really see these as signs the Lord gives his remnant. This stuff happens. You don't see it out on on the alternative Christian media. I very rarely see people pick up on any of this stuff. But I see it clear as a bell.
Right.
In audience, we're told in Revelation 2:10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Now the spiritual overlay, audience, on this is prison on one level is, you're tossed into prison. Okay. On a spiritual level is that Satan will guard around you, concretely guard. He will act. He will specifically at the time, literally or figuratively, cage, hold, prison, ward, watch.
So which makes you a spiritual captive.
You're a captive if you're not standing in the Holy of Holies. If you haven't prepared yourself for our Lord Jesus Christ to do his will. But this also has a layer of plural, which is no matter what happens, whatever they do to the flesh, whatever man-made disaster comes upon that could possibly happen, whatever propagation of fear that this Satan can put upon the inhabitants of the earth, you are to stand in the holy place to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the faith. This is the faith of Doubting Thomas. He was there in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as everybody professed to him that we saw him, he was here. He was in the room, Thomas. And Thomas...
What did he actually doubt there? He doubted his brethren. His brethren who were speaking, the Holy Spirit was speaking through his brethren. And he was doubting the Holy Spirit, actually.
It's blessed are you, audience, who understands this gospel. Out there are doctrines of demons. protecting your mind to serve the Lord Jesus Christ by studying the scriptures and studying yourself approved isn't a bad way to go. Okay, don't listen to the DVDs of somebody. Don't read their books. Read this gospel.
Amen.
And have the understanding of the Holy Spirit to teach you these things.
He will start to show you how to put new wine in the new wineskins. Or in the new, the King James Bible uses the word bottles, the new wine bottles. Because these spiritual understandings will not fit in the old wineskins. As Jesus says, you know, and you can't put new wine into old bottles, for they'll burst. You know, they can't handle. You know, you can't take this new spiritual truth and put it back into the doctrine of the flesh, because the doctrine of the flesh, that wine bottle that sees everything in the flesh and everything, is not going to hold this. You know, this new wine that Jesus is talking about. He was trying to explain that to them there at that time, as, you know, he came with his new wine, trying to teach them of things spiritual. And they were so focused on the flesh, they thought Abraham was their father. You'll notice in the New Testament is the first time the word father shows up, as far as the Father in heaven. It's not in the Old Testament, the Father.
Right.
So he's trying to tell them about things of the Father, and they have these old wineskins, they have Abraham. So they're trying to put these new spiritual things that Jesus is saying into these old wineskins of the flesh, Abraham. And they say, well, Abraham's our father. And how could Abraham have sent you? You're not 50 years old. And Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. So they can't put this new wine in their old wineskins. And, you know, this was in John chapter 6 when many of the apostles left because they couldn't eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. That's the new wine. So they murmured amongst themselves, left and came back no more because they just couldn't hold the new wine.
And an audience were told... In Colossians chapter 2, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, handwriting on the wall, audience, that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So these doctrines of demons that are out there ready to snare you at every turn, every radio show, every TV show, everywhere you go is a snare. And you're told that through the works of our Lord Jesus, his finished works at the cross, that you will be forgiven your sins, that they will be blotted out, that you will serve the Lord Jesus Christ and do his will in this time. Gentlemen, is that the proper rendering of Scripture?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Chris.
Yeah, well, that was really awesome. You know, I mean, there's nothing more I can add to that.
You wanted to turn into Revelations 13 last week, which we didn't have time to, Chris. Do you care to go there this evening?
I'm sure all raring to go there. And you know, I see it. Yeah, over the next weeks, I want to just go over the entire chapter in review.
Why don't we just start some of it right now?
Yeah, I was going to maybe, you know, I have a couple things kind of laid out that are more towards the mark of the beast and, you know, towards the end of the chapter. And I'm feeling like that we should do that. Just to possibly, you know, maybe fast forward to the end of the chapter.
That's, yeah, great. What
and,
verse?
And we can start over.
What verse do you want to pick up on?
Well, I'm going to do this with, this study of the merchandisers that we volleyed back and forth this week, Bill. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of took some of my old notes, and for the listeners, Bill and I were talking this week, and I really saw something a while back in that the Mark of the Beast on the ultimate, I think on the layer that actually is the most important layer of understanding, is the fact that those who take the mark are the ones who are a part of the harlot church system.
Right, they're taking on the same characteristics of their father, which is Lucifer.
Right,
the sealed 144,000, they take on the characteristics of their father.
Wow, that's really good. Yeah, that fits right in.
And before we get into it, Chris, just if you're new audience, any new members, please reason with me in terms of this understanding of the Mark of the Beast, because it's been so overturned in terms of chips and this and that.
More fear.
You are a holy vessel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a spiritual mark of those who are not the Mark of the Beast, the people on the other side of the plumb line. The people that are not doing the will of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay, I'm just going to read some of my notes
to
set the stage for where Bill and I were exchanging our notes on the Mark of the Beast. But this will kind of set the tone for this study. Luke chapter 10, verse 19 says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." The serpents and the scorpions are the earth dwellers. Luke 21:35, "For as a snare shall it come on them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." The earth dwellers are caught in a snare. And this is why what Bob was just talking about. Revelation 3:10, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." The snare is also called the hour of temptation. You see that the earth dwellers are caught in the hour of temptation as well.
And the multitude is caught in there too.
Pardon me?
The multitude, I think, is caught in there too. But they come out. Would you agree with that or not?
Well, listen, I'm wrestling with this, Bill, and I'm going to talk to you about that.
Because I could be wrong.
No, you're not wrong, because where are the multitude in this? I'm just going to set this, went right ahead and made that statement that the serpents and the scorpions are the earth dwellers. Where are the multitude in this? Let's just keep going, that's the big question. You see, what I'm doing with this thing is I'm kind of going the way possibly James Lloyd would present it, in that we've got the three groups, the serpents, scorpions, and remnant seed.
Okay.
And where do the multitude fit into the remnant seed and when? Well, I think we're going to get this thing resolved by the time we're done with this. So let's just, are we going to say that the earth dwellers include the multitude, the serpents and scorpions? I don't know. I'm going to present it this way, and let's see where it goes. But Revelation 6:10, "And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" Now, see, there's the multitude there, that have become remnant. Crying out to the Lord to avenge the blood on them that dwell on the earth. So there's definitely serpents and scorpions there.
Yep.
Revelation 11:10, "And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth." There they are, the two prophets, the multitude, the two witnesses.
The two witnesses right there, right? Yeah, there's your two witnesses right there.
Right there. Then Revelation 13:8, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I mean, worship the beast. I mean, that's who that's talking about. I took it out of context. Many references to them that dwell on the earth.
And even in
Revelation 13.
Even they call them the tribes of the earth in Luke 21.
The tribes of the earth. Yeah, that's huge.
They more.
Revelation 13:12. Yeah, this identity. But I think we're going to see who they are and who they include. And I think where the multitude fit. We've been trying so hard to reconcile this. Let's just see where it goes. Revelation 13:12, and he exercises all power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast.
That's the earth dwellers.
That's the earth dwellers again there.
Scorpions and the serpents.
And this is
the multitude, really.
Well, see, this is where it's getting to our study. I'm just kind of setting the stage for our study. And then we're going to really be able to dissect this, I think.
Mm-hmm.
13:14. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he has power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And I'm telling you what, this is happening today. This is happening in these churches. These churches are chasing signs and wonders today. This is talking about the false prophet. The false prophet is the harlot church.
Yep.
And they've made an image of the beast. The 501c3 corporate status is the image of the beast.
Right. They've made exactly. They've turned their church into the image of the beast.
And they've made the Star of Molech, the Israeli flag, hanging from the rafters of these churches. On another layer, that's an image of the beast, who had a wound by a sword and did live. And then I sum all those verses up with this. Earth dwellers are the ones who worship the beast. I think that's pretty safe to say. I mean, it's all right there.
Mm-hmm.
So, who they are. The earth dwellers are the ones who worship the beast. So, this leads us into Revelation 14:3, which is amazing how the church makes all this hoopla about the mark of the beast and the chip and why don't they spend half the energy talking about the mark of God?
Right. They don't ever talk about that much, do they?
No, they sure don't. It's crazy. But here's Revelation 14. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Okay? The 144,000 are not earth dwellers. They are redeemed from the earth.
Right.
These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. So here we are, they're virgins. Why are they virgins? Because they've come out of the harlot church, and they are not partakers in the harlot church's iniquities.
Right,
this is why they're identified as virgins.
That's the woman there, when it says they're not defiled with women. That's speaking
right.
of what you're just speaking. They're not in the harlot apostate church.
They're not part of the woman. Yeah,
in
right.
audience, these genders are... There is no gender in the spiritual construct.
No.
When you drill down on the virgins...
Spiritual metaphors.
It's men and maidens.
Right.
Yeah.
Bill, if we can recall, Paul discussed in Galatians the handling of his church when they were corrupted.
Yeah, the whole story of Galatians is, the Judaizers came behind Paul and corrupted the church, just like what's going on today. And it's funny that Paul had to rebirth them again. He says, I have to travail and rebirth you again, so that Christ be formed in you. Christ being formed in you is the man-child. That's being born again.
Right.
So Paul has to travail and rebirth them again, because Paul is a type and shadow right there of the 144,000 travailing to born them again, so Christ be formed in them, as we've mentioned so many times, because they were bewitched. He says, "Who has bewitched you, O foolish Galatians?"
Right.
And we're told in Luke 1:35, audience, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And when we say spiritually, follow the Lamb wherever he goeth, it is not the statue of Mary in the Catholic Church.
No.
It is not the doctrines of demons coming from everywhere. Because what we're seeing is the multitude of people that will eventually come out of the church, they're being encircled. And they're not prepared for tribulation. We're telling you, audience, to be that holy vessel, to let the Holy Spirit reveal these truths. Chris is giving, Brother Chris is giving you the truth of Scripture.
Yes.
It's the proper renderings. And it's a different construct than you, what you've been taught. And there's a foundation for this. The studies we have are the third day studies. And being able to discern the glossary of metaphors and the identifications gives you all of the players that are on this stage for our Lord's purpose. You have Jesus Christ, our Lord and God. You have 144,000 that has been distorted every which way possible. You have a multitude of people that are going to come to the truth and come out of these churches. And then you have serpents and scorpions that are going to suffer the wrath and judgment of our Lord God through his Son, Jesus Christ. If you're not prepared for this, none of these renderings will mean anything if you're listening to somebody else and not studying yourself approved. And when I say listen to somebody else, I don't mean the Joe Lunchbox crew. I mean sitting down and opening your Bible and reading the Scriptures to let the Lord reveal himself to you. Bill?
Amen. Why don't you go ahead and continue on, Chris, with this
okay.
Revelation 13.
The 144,000 first fruits, the barley of the harvest, are redeemed from the earth. And, you know, the barley is harvested first. They harvest the barley first, then the wheat.
Can we stop for 1 second and explain redeemed to the earth? Redeemed from the earth?
Absolutely.
These are the ones that it says they sit in heavenly places. You've been translated. You look at the Bible, it's only translated 3 times in the Bible. You've been translated into his heavenly kingdom. Your spirits have been quickened. And that's what these are. They're redeemed from they're sitting in heavenly places on Mount Zion with the Lord. And I think we're called to stand now. We're standing in, you know, on Mount Zion with the Lord.
Which is
spiritually, we're not in this world. You know, our body and stuff is here and everything. Yeah, that's an act. But spiritually, you're already in the kingdom. That's what being redeemed from the earth means.
And Bill, you may be absolutely dead on that. You know, we have to recall scripture upon scripture is that Jesus took his apostles out. And he sat them, and there's many instances of he sat, you know, mm-hmm. and the multitude sat.
Yeah.
And then there's a time where we're told to stand.
Yes.
And we're always contending for the truth. But at this time, in this generation, you know, this may be the time, audience, that the Lord reveals to you to stand. Because I believe, gentlemen, we're standing. Anybody disagree with that?
No.
No.
And if you're praying not to be deceived, and you're recognizing the truth of Scripture in these identifications that you can search for yourself and start coming to the truth, that this is the spiritual overlay that's happening to everybody. And if the Lord God knows every hair on your head, then he knows where your heart is. Only he knows. We don't know where your heart is. We're trying to lead you to our Lord Jesus Christ and no other. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, and I see that, you know, redeemed is definitely tied into the being purchased out of slavery. And, you
it's
know,
in the Bible, in the New Testament, 7 times.
Yeah.
And it's a good study. I would say everybody to go and look at all the verses with redeem, starting with Luke 1:68.
And this gets, I'm not going to go into this tonight.
Right.
This is an old study that I used to, you know, preach until I was blue in the face. And honestly, I've kind of let it go because it's just not, I pick my battles these days. But
mm-hmm.
I'll tell you something. I've always had trouble with hearing someone say that Jesus paid for my sins.
Well, you don't have to have trouble with it because it's not in the scriptures. I will tell you
it's not
scriptural. I will tell you what's scriptural. Well, at least, unless someone shows me different, you've been made propitiations for sins. What Jesus did,
yeah.
What Jesus did, I believe it's in Acts chapter. Excuse me if I quote the chapter wrong. Acts chapter 1, but I could be wrong. He purchased your souls on Calvary.
Amen.
And
he purchased
us out of
slavery.
Payment for sin. There is no payment for sin.
There is no payment for sin. What he did was he allowed for God's requirement for justice to be satisfied and then allowed us to be forgiven. Without compromising God's law. God's law was not
compromising his law, right? It's Acts chapter 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church. To feed the church of God. To feed the church. Remember, he says, if you love me, feed my sheep, Peter. So he says, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood.
Yeah,
he purchased the church. He purchased your soul.
He didn't pay for sins. That's the biggest heresy. I mean, really, it's something I don't even really fight it anymore. It's too late. But I've cringed for 20 years when I heard someone say Jesus paid for my sins because that's not correct. That's not what happened. You know, but it's, you know, I just move on because. You know, what happened was Jesus required God's requirement for justice, allowing us to be forgiven. If I'm forgiven, why am I paying? If Bob owes you $20 and I pay the $20, he doesn't need to forgive you. It's paid. It's not the way it was. That's not what took place on the cross. Yeah. Propitiation is the big key, Bill. That's a huge word. But anyway. Hey, we've been redeemed, you know, from the earth. So move on from there.
Yeah,
because this is all setting the stage now. Revelation 14:6, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. See, this is it. Now, this is the, you know, the. Well, I skipped a verse, 14:5, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw an angel. Fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people.
That's just
so
what Noah did. That's just what Noah did for the 120 years. He was a preacher of righteousness, and he prayed. He preached. That's exactly what Noah did.
He preached
of the 144,000.
And this gospel is being preached to them that dwell on the earth. And when you respond to the gospel, you're redeemed from the earth. And
you
this is the process.
To the gospel,
so,
you're redeemed from the earth, right.
You know, the question is, we've got the serpents and scorpions. We've got the remnant elect, the 144,000. And then we've got the multitudes in the valley of decision. Where do they go? Well, that's the question. And hopefully by the time the study's done, we'll have a pretty good handle on this. Because it's a difficult one. It's very difficult. But I've got, right now, the harvest is underway.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we see separation taking place in the house of God. The 144,000 are preaching this gospel, the true gospel, to the multitude. As they respond, they come out of the harlot church and join the remnant in the wilderness. The song of the 144,000, the song that the 144,000 learn is the truth. And this is spread as the multitude respond. They come out and join the remnant. You know, the 144,000 are virgins. Well, these are my notes. They're virgins because they no longer partake in the harlot's iniquities. Okay, so.
They're the five wise virgins.
And then this is, I'm going to throw in Isaiah 21:10. O my threshing, and the corn of my floor, that which I have heard of the Lord of hosts, and the God of Israel, have I declared unto you. And here we are. This is the setting the stage now. You know, for the where we're going with the mark of the beast, Bill.
Okay,
and Bob. But the threshing floor is deception. You know, we've gone over this before. Deception is the tool God uses to separate his wheat from his tares, or from the tares. This process takes place on earth. The earth dwellers are separated from those who are with Jesus on Mount Zion, Jerusalem above. God's sheep hear his voice and are not deceived. They are not caught in the snare. And here we are. So, you know, we can, that's kind of what we're talking about in Revelation chapter 13, concerning the mark of the beast, is the people that are the ones who worship the beast, who have the mark of the beast, are the earth dwellers. And this is who you don't want to be, folks. You don't want to be an earth dweller. You want to be redeemed from the earth, so you don't wander after the beast. Because if you're redeemed from the earth, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So here we are. We've done a great, Bill put together a fantastic study concerning the mark of the beast, and. I'm going to just go ahead and lay out a couple of scripture here that will, set this, tie it together. John 2:16. And said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. 2 Peter 2:3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And Revelation 13:17. This is the big one. This is the big verse that they've completely, they've lambasted this verse, just as bad as they have, the parable of the leaven, the parable of the mustard seed, one will be taken, one left. This is one of their, the church's favorites to absolutely destroy, but Revelation 13:17, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And Revelation 18:11, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. These four verses are all talking about the same thing.
Yep.
The doves in the temple are the multitude. 2 Peter 2:3, they make merchandise of you. Revelation 13:17, no one may buy or sell. 18:11, the merchants, false shepherds, parenthetically, weep and mourn because they are judged and damned. As we said in 2 Peter 2:3, these are the serpents and scorpions whose judgment now for a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. This is it. This is it. We're here. We're right here, folks. And, those who have taken the mark of the beast are about to be judged. How long do we have? But this thing is all going down. This is all right in front of us. And these decisions of where you fit into this are right before you. They're right before all of us. And, deciding what to do with this message is actually mark of the beast at work. When is it over? When's it going to be too late? I don't know. I know the marking is underway. I know God's, the God mark on the forehead is happening, and I know the serpents and scorpions are being marked. And I'm not going to be God and say who's marked, who's got the mark of the beast right now. I've got some pretty good ideas. I can see some leadership in the corporate harlot church that. I believe they're marked. I believe they're already marked.
Certainly see the fruit that bears from the tree.
Yeah.
And you recognize this audience. This is what we're preaching, to recognize your surroundings. Okay, you are surrounded by serpents and scorpions, and you're tempted everywhere you go in a snare. And we're admonishing you to protect your mind to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. to be like the prostitute, sin no more and go, to be like the deaf. You know, when he could hear, he preached the gospel. The blind, when they could hear, they preached the gospel. And going into the metaphor, and just understanding your scripture. Okay, so you're not taught by anyone else. You have to study this yourself. Acts chapter 5, verse 15. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, and they laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow them, some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one of them. Now, audience, when you look at this sick, when it refers to this being sick, it's they have no strength. They are feeble, they're impotent, and they're without strength. But this overshadowing, this is in spiritual knowledge and power. This overshadowing of the gospel, this is the strengthening to you. The gospel is good news. It's Amen. Preached to the, it's not preached to the Pharisees or whatever you want to call your Sunday, let's take it, the Pope and whoever is the top line echelon preacher all the way down to your corner church are sick because this gospel hasn't been preached to them. And they're
teaching a flesh gospel.
And the shadow of Peter passing by is his words. When the Holy Spirit reveals his words in 1st and 2nd Peter, in the transformation from Peter to a fleshly understanding, 6. To understanding who the Lord Jesus Christ was, 7. And then reconciling it, staying in 7. That the power that was given to him was so great that his shadow would heal people. I have not gold or silver to give. Gentlemen?
Amen. Well, you know, we started this Mark of the Beast thing out with the serpents and the scorpions, and that we have power to tread on serpents and scorpions. And, you know, we see metaphorically that the serpents are the false teachers, and these are associated with the mark on the forehead, you know, the teaching. And the scorpions are the money changers, the administration, the force, you know, behind the harlot church. You know, we see this manifest in many ways. But, you know, we see this as the mark on the right hand. You know, it can be tied to the treasurer at the counting the tithe, you know, from the baskets on Sunday to the scorpion army that is Blackwater, you know, associated with Christianity. And, you know, all these signatures are here. But, you know, this is what we have. This is what we have in front of us, the mark of the beast. You know, the mark of the beast is here, and it's not going to be something that you go down to, you know, wherever to get a chip implanted. It's about the decision you make about being a part of the harlot church or not. That's the mark of the beast. Because those who are not merchandised in the harlot church are the ones who have refused to be marked, and they have accepted the mark of God, and this is what's taking place. And you know, this is this was my part of this study, tying the mark of the beast to the merchandisers. And you know, this is where Bill completely took this then and ran with it, and that the right hand represents our deeds and the forehead our thoughts in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hey Bill, can you pick up from there with Deuteronomy?
Yeah,
from your notes, or
I don't know where my notes are right offhand off of that, but I'll pull the text up real quick.
It was Deuteronomy chapter 6.
Okay.
And then you got verse 6, 7. You know, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart.
Okay. Yeah, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou seest in thine house. And when thou walkest thy way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So this is walking in Jesus Christ 24 hours a day. That's basically, that's not going to church on Sunday for an hour. That's picking up your cross and walking in Jesus Christ right there. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. So you're doing these works of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what your hands are doing in this world. You're doing James 1:27. You're participating in pure religion. That's the 124,000. That's the religion they're in. They're in James 1:27, the only pure religion. Then they keep themselves unspotted from the world. And these are the works of their hands. And there shall be frontlets between thine eyes. This is the thoughts of your foreheads, the thoughts of your mind. So the reverse of this is the people that are marked on the hand and the people that are marked in the forehead. And we're to be walking in Christ 24 hours a day, having this mind of Christ Jesus in us, in our frontlets, between our eyes. And this is direct our hands, direct our steps, direct our works, and what we do in this world are of the Father, just as Jesus' works were of the Father.
Yeah, and that's really huge, that frontlets, Bill, because that's, Jesus talks about, thine eye, keeping the eye is a window to the soul, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
I mean, this is a huge thing, with the, we hear, Randy's gotten himself in, gotten all kinds of conflict with talking about the third eye and things like that as far as, Christian goes. I mean, he's had all kinds of flack for that.
Right.
But in his defense, this is what he's talking about right there. That's what he's talking about because it's in the Gospels and it's right there.
Right.
And it's about that spiritual eye, So, that's really neat.
Keeping the Christ, the mind of Christ Jesus in you.
And that's where it is, right there.
Seeing from a singular vision, as he talks about, and Jesus talked about being of singular mind, and of course they're going to pervert this. The opposite occult side is going to always pervert everything in the Bible. They're going to come up with the third eye as being something else. So there is a lot of care in going down that road because we know that the devil's going to try to copy everything.
Amen. That's exactly what he's doing.
Yeah.
An audience.
And I just found this, Bob. Sorry. Luke 11:34. The light of the body is the eye. Singular.
Yeah.
Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But then thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. I mean, there it is in Luke.
Yep.
Talking about that same thing. That sounds very occultic. Sounds very New Age.
Darkness is...
Jesus, are you into the New Age? It's really remarkable. It's astonishing.
Cultic,
this
right.
is astonishing. Yeah, it
and
does,
they have
doesn't
twisted
it,
that in occult meaning too.
Well, that's what Satan does. He's not. He can't. He doesn't have an original thought.
He doesn't have an original thought, right?
So he's just corrupted everything of God.
Being of singular is a being of in Christ Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit and the body of Christ all in one. That's the only
Amen.
Thing will work. Anything else?
Yeah, truth is always one.
Anything that's not of one is going to be consumed, whether it be finite of this earth or finite in the spirit. If it's anything two is going to be consumed. And at the end of that verse there, after he's talked about being at one in singular in the, what was the last part of that verse about the darkness?
Hang on.
Red.
But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. I'll read the whole thing again. It's wonderful. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body is also full of darkness.
Right, and the darkness will call itself light. Jesus
yeah.
said so. That's the singular eye is of one. It's the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. The other
right.
eye
truth.
Is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's the tree of two.
And truth is always singular.
Truth is always
There's never
singular.
Plural truths. There's always this one truth.
Except for the never inspired version. It's four times with an S on it.
Oh, is it? Yeah, right.
And in the new ones, I'm not even sure. They may have added more. I'm talking about the 1984 version. Yeah, truth is only one.
And then put together some other things too with Satan is a trafficker, trafficking and merchandising. You know, in Ezekiel chapter 28, Satan is referred to as a trafficker. Mm-hmm. And it's the same principle.
It's the same principle.
Just goes over and over again.
If he was a trafficker, his children are going to be a trafficker, right? They're
going to
take on the characteristic of their father.
Yeah. And it says, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and they have sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of the fire. And thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquity. By the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee,
right,
if shall devour thee. And I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth, and the signs of all them that behold thee. And it's just merchandise, traffic
is
buy,
actually rendered.
Sell.
Traffic and merchandise are rendered the same in the Strong Concordance.
Yes, they are the same word. You're right. 7404, merchandise and traffic. And then you've got buy or sell.
Yeah. And it all runs right into Revelation 13 right there.
Yep. And it's the purpose of the tribulation is to, restore the apostate church, and this is what's upon us. The tribulation is the harvest. It's the harvest,
mm-hmm.
and it's here. It's started because God is already separating out his barley. It's already taking place, and it's clear that this process takes place, and it's sealed. Those who have received the mark of God this is where we get into semantics now. This is difficult stuff where the multitude fits in, but it seems pretty clear that those who are left undecided after the tribulation starts, it's not going to end well for them. You know, these are the multitudes in the valley of decision, and how this process takes place, this decision takes place. What is the decision? What do you think, Bill? Bob, what's the decision that the multitude make?
To die to the flesh.
Yeah.
They repent of their sins and they have the Holy Spirit recognize this.
Repent of their sins, right.
It's, when you're given the proper rendering of Scripture in trying to convey the truth of Scripture, audience, it is absolutely upside down. Because you've been indoctrinated with the pale horse teachings. Possible mingling of Scripture is out on the market, and it's at your fingertips, no matter where you're at.
It's being merchandised everywhere.
Every snare you look at, you think, well, if I read the New International Version of the Bible, and
plus they have concordance notes, too, or notes to help you out there in case you can't understand.
And the apostate notes that you read, you not only have diminishment of the word, which we were told there would be a famine on the land, and that famine is for the word. And when Jesus was tempted in the desert, he said, it's written, it's written, it's written. That's this gospel, audience.
He even said it on the cross when he was dying. He said, it's written. About the last thing he said at the sixth hour.
Eloi lama sabachthani.
Yeah.
My God, why has thou forsaken me?
Boy, woke me up to that with that. I always knew it was wrong, but I never could understand.
Chris,
exactly.
Give the proper rendering of that, please.
Well, how many times have we heard what that means in the church, that, God turned his back on Jesus because he couldn't look upon sin. He put all the sin, he put the sins of the whole world upon Jesus, and God couldn't look upon him. Well, what Jesus is doing there is he's going, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. He's reading the first verse of the 22nd Psalm, which wasn't called the 22nd Psalm back then. It was called Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. They would refer to the Scripture by the first line of the section of Scripture. Jesus is on the cross going, folks, This is scripture taking place right before your eyes. Because Psalms 22 is where we see the description of the servant that, was pierced for our transgressions and not a bone was broken. You know, the Psalms chapter 22 is the account of the crucifixion. And Jesus is telling the folks, the people, quoting scripture, what was happening. He's going, hello, you know, you're seeing scripture fulfilled right now. And they went, oh, you know, you can just imagine the astonishment when they made the connection. Because they knew what he was saying. When Jesus said that, they knew. Because they knew their scripture. And, you know, this is just another piece of scripture that's been twisted and turned beyond recognition, pitiful. It's just this craziness. You know, I know when I woke up, when the Lord woke me up, I started from scratch. I started with, I know Christ and him crucified. That's all I knew. That's all I knew for sure. And I started over. I realized that everything I'd been taught had been, you know, had been tainted and twisted. And, you know, I'm not going to say it was all wrong, because there was, I had a lot of truth, but it's been a matter of resorting it all and organizing it and putting it in its place, you know.
A proper repentance. You changed your mind, because the world had, the flesh had your mind. And you knocked, and you received in abundance, Brother Chris. Abundance.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
In the audience, that's our prayer for you. Brother Bill, anything else?
Yeah, that was in verse 46 of what you were speaking of there in the book of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 46. And verse 47 says, and some of them stood there when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. So they say they can't even hear what he's saying. This is just proof of what he was saying, what he just got through telling them. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it him to drink.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And with that, scripture was fulfilled.
Yeah.
That's the point of that.
Yeah.
And it was right there.
It's so big that verse 46, 47, 48, and 49 there.
All the big stuff is the stuff that Satan twisted.
Yep.
You know, the rendering of the leaven, you know, and the evangelical church thinking leaven is good and that leaven is the gospel spreading throughout the world.
And who spotted it in verse 54 there? He's, of all those people that he was trying to tell them about their scripture in Psalms, of all the people, it was a Roman centurion and said, well, this surely was the Son of God. And he didn't even know what the Psalms was.
Wow. Yeah, isn't it just amazing? Just amazing.
Brother Chris, any closing thoughts?
Oh, yeah, I'll wrap it up tonight. I'm just so, I am just absolutely blown away. I mean, the stuff that, you know, I'm seeing, you know, not without challenge. I mean, I'm, you know, my life is just, you know, I've got, you know, with the separation, that, you know, that's happened in my own family with this, you know, this harvest went right through the middle of my house, you know, and it broke up my marriage. You know, it's just been a heartbreaker, but it's been, I just have to rely on scripture and know that, you know, it seems like it's equal to understanding though. You know, we hear that, you know, that the hail sweeps away the lies, and I just hold on to that scripture all the time because it does. And because, you know, all the persecution and suffering, it also does finely tune your brain and gives you clarity. And so it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's the only thing that's gotten me through this, because there's always been, you know, either encouragement or revelation that the Lord gives that, you know, makes it all worthwhile. And we know, but it's, you know, it's just time to really, you know, set aside all of our ambitions and our, you know, it's really time to position yourself for what's ahead. Because, you know, this is no time to you know, take on a new project or a new, you know, business venture or whatever. You know, take it all in stride and just be ready to move where the Lord would have you move ahead, because it's going to be about ministering to the multitude, because it's going to take the tribulation to wake these people up. That's really what it's going to take. And this is what's coming. All these prophetic signatures that we're hearing about, are all pointing towards one thing. It's all pointing towards judgment, God's judgment. And what's the judgment? It's going to be the stripping of the idols from his people. His people are going to have every false god stripped from them because God's a jealous God. And the more you do it ahead of time, willingly, it'll certainly make it a lot easier in the long run. So anything, and what's an idol? Well, it's anything that has your affection besides God. I mean, I'm not talking about a spouse or children. Hey, we know, we're certainly called to love them. You know, it gets down to the two commandments.
That's right.
You know, love God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself.
That's right.
That's it. And that's what we need to do. And that's it. We got to stay there. Don't go on to, I could really, love my neighbor if I had a new car or whatever. It's just all nonsense.
Talk about loving anything else in the scriptures other than loving God and loving your brethren.
Yeah.
Which would be your family. There's no real, I can't find love of animals anywhere in the Bible. Not saying maybe you can't love your pets, but I can't find it there. I can't find love your car there. I can't find love your house there. I can't find love your gold there. I can't find, the only thing I can find is love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love thy neighbor.
And it's real love. It's love based on honesty, not flattery.
It's right. It's real love based on honesty.
Loving your neighbor is loving them enough to probably let them hate you because you might say something. You're probably going to say, because today, loving somebody is saving them from the fire, and it means saying something that's going to possibly push them away. But, this is what we're called to do, and that's love. That's what real love is. It takes courage. It takes courage from the Lord to do stuff like that. But, all these years of lying smiles, the term.
Lying smiles, boy.
It's like this is what's out there, and you don't help anybody by smiling, and knowing that they're perishing because the time's so short now. There's just whatever you were thinking or planning someday. Well, it's that day. It's time, and that's it. And with that, I just want to thank everybody, and I'll tell you this pain I'm going through with my family. It's just the Lord makes up for it with support. From all my friends and you know who you are. There's just always a comment on Facebook or something that just completely makes it okay. Somebody's friend of a friend wanting to get on board and we got a kind of a neat little thing going on Facebook right now.
You're seeing a lot of people there, aren't you?
Yeah, a lot of encouragement there. And it's neat. It's really neat. So it's amazing that God's using this electronic medium, in these last days to connect his flock. And, who would have ever thought that? How long is it going to last? I don't know. Yeah, they're probably going to keep the internet going. They want to keep an eye on
it's
us.
Mostly
I'm sure this Facebook is how they're going to round everybody up in the end anyway, but who cares? It's just, here we are, and it's, there's no amount of, guns or ammo or food, hey, it's good to prepare, and I'll never say don't prepare. I've got, a couple weeks worth of food in my basement, and I want to get some more, it's on my mind. But, our real hope is in the Lord, and his kingdom is not of this world, and standing in the truth, and which is abiding in Christ, is abiding in the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
That's your spiritual ammo.
We need to be positioned. Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. I knew not from whence you were. And it means you weren't positioned right. You didn't have the right garment when you came to the wedding feast, You can't show up with a hoodie when the Lord invites you to the wedding feast because he doesn't, you play by his rules. You play by God's rules, not our rules. And that's the deal, so.
And anyone that enter the kingdom in another way is a thief, and climb back another way is a thief and a robber.
Yeah, which is what everybody's doing, which is what religion's doing.
They're trying to climb back another way.
Yeah, and, how would you doubt it? Because they are in need of nothing, and increase of good is in need of nothing, because it's all deception, And what looks like a thriving, church system out there with these buildings.
They go, got all letters.
They're coming down. You know, they're crumbling. You know, you're hearing. You know, they're having trouble out there.
I've heard Rick Joyner's and them were having problems. And
yeah, that's what I'm hearing too. You know, all these structures are going to crumble. But you know, this deception of thinking that you know, God loves us so much because He's given us seven flavors of latte in our coffee shop. Well, that's all going to get reconciled here pretty quick, I think. And yeah, with that, I just want to say goodnight and thank everybody for your support and love. And I just love everybody out there that's listening. Thank you.
Brother Amen, Bill. Brother Chris. Yes, I'd just like to thank all the listeners. And I'd like to thank the Lord for giving this opportunity to share His word with you. And may God bless and keep each and every one of you. And may the Holy Spirit come in and show you the way. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one come to the Father except by Him. And Brother Bob, I'll let you wind it up here.
Thank you both, brothers. Audience, I want to close with Psalm 91:7. I want you to think spiritually, audience. The spiritual understanding of this. Forget about the earthquakes, the nuclear Holocaust, the Gulf of Mexico, spiritual outlays manifesting, and stick to the spiritual understanding of this gospel. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near, nigh, thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. Audience, we preach our Lord Jesus Christ, crucified at the cross, the finished works of Lord Jesus Christ. And we preach this gospel for you to recognize your salvation, and it's through our Lord Jesus Christ, through the Scriptures, through the Holy Spirit revealed to you, and many, many do not see this coming. This is Bob Garrity for Chris Ardern and Bill Johnson. Good night.
I got my mind on eternity.